Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
We continue our study about walking with God, and today we're going to talk about walking His way. And we'll see that in an encounter He has with one of His disciples who was called. Lord Jesus often use this phrase, follow me, and we talked a little bit about that last week. We've been talking about walking with Him. We looked at various passages where it says walk in love, walk in, humility, whatever. Now we're looking to kind of look at those in a more narrative, more story sense of those who were called to walk with Him. If you begin looking at verse 9, we're going to read down through verse 13 in our text in front of us. A very simple story, one that you know and are familiar with, but we want to just dig into it this morning. Verse 9. As Jesus passed from there, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. He said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed Him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's basically three scenes in this account. There's a scene of Him calling Matthew. There's a scene of the feast and the celebration that takes place apparently in Matthew's house. And lastly, the scene of the discussion between the Pharisees and Jesus over this contentious thing that we see in front of us. If you look up the page in the first part of chapter 9, you'll see it's the story where He's healed the man who was paralyzed. Now, Matthew does not give all the details that the other gospel writers do, but that's the one where they let him down through the torn up roof and all that sort of thing. His four friends brought him. And He's just coming from this healing. Of course, the Pharisees were upset about that as well. And they are as this one as well. So first of all, I want to just talk about this word that I want to plant into our thinking this morning. It's the word surrender. To walk His way requires us surrendering our way. And you see here in the story, the first scene. As Jesus passed on from there, He just come from that amazing scene of healing this man who was paralyzed. And it's apparently taking place in Capernaum. Capernaum is on the probably about the 10 o'clock position around the Sea of Galilee, right on the seashore. It was the hometown of the four disciples who were fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John. So they were from that city. So actually at least five of the 12 were from that city because Matthew's joining the ranks. It also says he's coming from there, and it says they saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. I know most of you probably understand the background of tax collectors, tax gatherers in their day, but let me just give you a quick primer, if you will. They would have been Jewish. They've been Jewish people, but they were working for the other side, so to speak. They were hired by Rome to be the tax collectors, and as long as Rome got its cut, you could charge as much as you wanted because there was no penalty for it. So they became notorious for being those people who extorted more money than they should. And so, in other words, they just upped your taxes so they could put it in their own pocket. So they were viewed as thieves. They were also viewed as traitors because you're working the other side. And they had no restraints on how they could coerce a person to pay taxes. So they were bullies. So a bully, traitor, and a thief. They were not very popular in Israel, to say the least. In fact, back in chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus is talking about that we should love our enemies. And basically he says, even the tax collectors love those who love them, to make a very shocking statement. Even these sinner types. So If they had a hierarchy, if they had a ladder of you know, who's the righteous, of course, the Pharisees would put themselves at the top. And down at the very bottom rung of the ladder would be the tax collectors. So that's how they were viewed. So he's sitting there doing his taxing thing in Capernaum, and he comes and Jesus simply says, "Follow me," and then this is all Matthew says. So he arose and followed him. Of all people who could have embellished the story would be Matthew, because if you look right at the top of the page, it says it's the book of Matthew. So the book that he wrote, he's telling his story. He doesn't say much about himself. He does give us his name. By the way, he's also known as Levi in the Gospel of Mark. And oftentimes in the Bible, people had multiple names. For instance, Simon was his given name. Peter, the apostle, was his nickname that was given to him by Jesus. So Matthew immediately arises and follows him. Number one, surrender your past for his future. That's what he's calling us to do. Surrendered his past for his future in Christ. In reality, he probably did have a very lucrative position. Even though he was not the most popular person in town, he had great freedom. No one was breathing down his neck, telling him he needed to straighten up. He could just do as he wanted. But something happened in Capernaum. A man named Jesus took up residence there. That was the base of his operations during his Galilean ministry. Oftentimes he preached there, he preached in the synagogue there. The synagogue right now, you can go and visit the ruins of it in Capernaum. And it's just probably about 150 yards or maybe less than that down to the seashore. You can see the seashore there. There's a road that came right along the Sea of Galilee. So probably where they joined the commerce that was coming in from the sea, and that was passing on the road, somewhere in that vicinity was a tax booth. And if you came by with your goods, you came by with your wares, came by with your profit, came by with your crop, came by with your catch, you had to stop here and pay taxes. Shockingly, he just looks at Matthew and says, "Follow me," and he does. I've wondered what kind of stir that would have caused the other disciples, because at least four of them had paid taxes to that guy somewhere along the way. He was not the most popular person in town, but yet Jesus calls him out. And for whatever reason, he says, "I'm going to follow you," and he leaves it all behind and just leaves right there, resigns on the spot, so to speak. He didn't give his 2 weeks notice. He didn't ask for any severance. He just walks out, and away he goes to follow Jesus. Now, where did that come from? Well, he probably had heard something about Jesus, the miracle that was just probably maybe had been repeated to him before Jesus even got there. He knew something about Jesus. Maybe he'd heard Jesus preach. But you know what? Beyond that, by the way, those were good things. Why would he serve Jesus? Why would he give it all for Jesus? How about this? It's the same motivation you and I have to follow Jesus. It's because simply this: Jesus is Jesus. He is the Lord in flesh. He is the creator of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the judge of all things. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lion of Judah, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's Jesus, that's why. And he calls us to surrender our past and say, "I'm going to follow you," whatever that means, wherever that leads. And we usually think of that in terms of those that still need to come to Christ as their Savior, and certainly it does. And if that would happen to be you listening or in present here today, it's simply this. You know, there's a lot that wants to hold you back and retard your following of Jesus. It might be too much to give up. It might be something that I don't want to surrender, something that I want to hang on to, something that I'm enjoying. It just might cost too much to follow Jesus. Matthew stands as the shining example. He gave it all up. All of his career, all of his money, all that to follow Jesus. So I simply say to you, this is in reality what the Bible says about Jesus. He is the one and the only Savior. And he invites you to follow him. To understand that on the cross, Jesus died, even as he's being nailed there. This wonderful Savior says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He spoke words of comfort to the dying thief when he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he said, "It is finished," because the price for sin was paid, and the price for your sin has been paid. And he invites you to follow him. And all he asks of you is that you would believe in him. You say, "Lord, I'm going to put all that stuff aside, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you." If you need help with understanding more what that means, that's commitment to Christ, that step of faith, you can just talk to any follower of Christ that you know, family or friend or someone like that. They'd be happy to share that with you. I'd be happy to share that with you. Any of our pastors would. If you need more help, just let that be known. We'll talk about it. We'll share with you and show you from the scriptures what it means to be a follower of Christ. But don't put that off. Don't put that off. The question here is simply this. Are you ready to follow Jesus? Are you ready to follow him today? Let this be the day. Then the scene shifts in verse 10. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house. It does not say specifically it was Matthew's house. I don't know who else's house it would be, so it seems likely. It says this. Sat at the table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Well, who else is he going to invite? More importantly, who else would come to his house? The Pharisees are going to show their opinion in just a moment. The disciples probably had a little bit of hesitancy, but they've been with Jesus long enough, the disciples that he's already called them. You understand, then Peter becomes one of the 12, this inner circle. So what does he do? He says, I want to bring Jesus into my home for the celebration of my change status, and I'm going to invite all of the friends that will come, will get under my roof, and I want them to meet Jesus. How do you think they responded to Matthew's invitation? They came. They ate his food. They were there. But do you imagine there was somebody? There had to have been someone. Maybe there are several someones. Hey, Matthew, come over here. What are you doing? Do you know how much you make? I know you're good at accounting and you're good at detail. You know how much you're going to make next year compared to last year? There's going to be a great decrease in your status of life and a great decrease in your income. What are you doing? How? And probably it made them uncomfortable because of how they felt around Jesus, but also there was this counting the cost sort of thing. But you know what? Matthew was willing to do this. He was willing to surrender his reputation and substitute it for the glory of God. I want my life to be about him, not about me. And I suspect, knowing how I know people, and you do as well, that probably some of them, maybe most of them, maybe even all of them, walked away shaking their heads like Matthew has gone off the deep end. Poor Matthew, he doesn't know what's happened to him. In reality, if they walked away not trusting in the Savior, maybe some of them did. Remember Zacchaeus? He was another notable tax collector that Jesus had an encounter with, and Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. So perhaps indeed there were some who come, but there were probably some who just thought, Matthew's reputation was gone among the peers. The rest of the community already thought he had no reputation in general. But you know what? He recognized that Jesus was worth sacrificing for. He also recognized that Jesus was worth sharing his testimony of faith, and what a testimony it was. I mean, after all, there was nothing half-hearted in his commitment to Christ. There was nothing held back. There was nothing except in case of. It was all or nothing, and it was commitment, and what a testimony it was. You know what? Your testimony and our light has to shine in this world where sometimes people could look at us and say, what are you doing? Why do you give up a big chunk of your weekend to go to church and be bored with stories from, years and years ago? And why would you do that? You could be out having all kinds of fun. Why would you give a chunk of your income to support God's work and to keep missionaries on a field in some foreign land where it's just leave that alone? Maybe they would not say it. Maybe you don't have too many people in your life, but there's some people around that if they really revealed their heart would say something similar to you. But you know what? It's not about our reputation, what people think. And sometimes we can be bullied into silence in the venues of life that we get into. You know what? Oh, I could say something to the Lord. I could be talking about what God's doing in my life, but maybe I should just keep that to myself. It might be safer. It might be more comfortable. Matthew went right into the uncomfortable territory and brought all of his sinners and all of his tax collector buddies in and said, I want you to meet Jesus because he changed my life. The question here for us, are we willing to lay aside to follow Jesus? And then you get to the most uncomfortable scene in this three-part story. And they always seem to show up. Any verse that starts with, and when the Pharisees show up, things are going to go south. And they said to his disciples, notice the Pharisees go to the disciples, not to Jesus. They sort of do this kind of round, whispering around the edges. They said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Implication, he shouldn't eat with tax collectors and sinners. Implication, because if you hang around with tax collectors and sinners, you must be one of them. Or at the very least, it's going to rub off on you. This is not, we would never sit down to a meal with tax collectors and sinners. And certainly he shouldn't. So they insert their opinion into what's going on, and you know already that their opinion is not the right opinion, right? Because Jesus is going to correct them in a very glaring fashion. So we need to do this. We need to surrender our opinion for His work. Wherever God's at work, celebrate it. If God's at work in different ways than we suspect, celebrate it. If God does things unexpected, celebrate it. Now, the problem with the Pharisees were that they thought that simply that they were above others. We are doing it right. Those people are doing it wrong. And really, they had been doing it wrong, but except they were now meeting Christ, and what a good thing that was. The reality was, though, they had put so many layers and so much emphasis on our behavior and what I do and don't do that their heart's attitude had grown stale and cold. And that's what Jesus calls out in the next verse. When Jesus heard that, He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. In other words, could I just paraphrase? You are missing the point. The point is not, what are you doing? You know, it's us and others. He's saying, I came for the others. Those who are well don't need a physician. At the end of the verse, He simply says this, I've come to call the righteous, not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They would have immediately put themselves into the righteous category. Jesus knew better, and so do we. Because their righteousness was manufactured by their own efforts rather than saying, my righteousness alone, strictly, totally, completely comes from the righteousness which Christ has imparted to me through grace. That's it. The problem was with them is not that it was the others who needed something and not us. The reality was they were the others. Because these people who were coming as sinners, they knew they were faced with the fact that they needed to repent and Christ was the answer. They were the sick and needed the physician. They didn't even realize they were sick and sinners. So He says to all of us, we need to simply say this, we are not above anyone else. You know, the old saying, it's been put in song and verse, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. No matter where we've come in life, no matter what our life story has been, we're saved the same exact way. Jesus died, was buried and crucified, and rose again the third day. And all who will believe in that and believe that that is sufficient for their salvation, God will grant eternal life and forgiveness of sins. It's as simple as that. And that's what we should be excited about. Sometimes I think we can get into a place where we can just kind of be so comfortable with God's work or maybe be uncomfortable with some of God's work. And we fail to miss this. And He calls this out in the middle of 13. He says, but go and learn what this means. By the way, that was a traditional rabbinic way of saying to a student, you should have learned your lessons better. You need to go back and hit the books again and then come back. You need to go and learn. So that was a bit of a rebuke. And here's what you go and learn. He quotes a verse from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I want you to have a heart of mercy for people. It's a question of heart. It's not a question of sacrifice. You do it this way, do it that way, whatever. It's a heart attitude. And we as a church and we as individuals need to remember in every age and every place that the church is this. Jesus said He would build His church. And the church is about taking people from the condemnation of hell and the darkness of this life and transferring them into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light. He said, I'll build my church. The raw material for the church is sinners. Sinners sin. Sometimes we notice, but may they notice that Jesus is the answer. And may they notice from the way we live our lives and the way we love. If that makes us uncomfortable, if that makes us just seem strange in some situation, we need to just simply say, Lord, You desire a heart of mercy. Give me a heart of mercy. That leads us to this question. Are we serving with humility and praise with what God is doing? You know, we should be so rejoicing. I know we are this morning. We see these families coming with these lovely young little children and their family together. And we say, that is God at work. We see someone come through these doors and maybe they sit and they listen. Maybe they leave. Maybe they come several times before they even have an understanding of the heart of Jesus. Then we see someone turn and trust Christ, start following Him. That's the work of God. The fact that all of us are in a church this morning is an evidence of God's work and grace in your life. The fact that there's a church to come to this morning is a fact and a proof of God's grace and mercy in life. Love mercy. Embrace that truth. Question just comes to a heart's condition of surrender. Matthew surrendered. I hope some of those tax collectors and sinners surrendered. The Pharisees did not. Let's be in that category of surrender to His work and be celebrating what He does. and walk with him. That attitude that he expresses there from Hosea, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, sums it all up very well. May God help us to do that. And may we adopt a spiritual perspective on the church, our life, our Savior, our Lord, and the Scriptures. Let's pray that God will help us to do that. Father, thank you for this story as we walk with Matthew this morning. Thank you that Jesus, in his grace, none of the disciples would, the Pharisees certainly wouldn't, no one in that community would have called him to repentance. They would have thought he was unsavable, unsavory, someone to be avoided. And Lord, the same is true of us. Lord, we are told in the Scriptures that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you that that is true. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in your work, cooperate in your work, celebrate your work. Help us, Lord, to be part of your work as we share our testimony with those around. Matthew certainly was willing to risk his friendships and his reputation before all who knew him because he wanted them to meet Jesus. Lord, help us to be surrendered in that regard. Help us to be surrendered in every area of life as we walk with you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.